Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad to see that all of you all that were able to make it, glad that you're here as well.
Amen.
I'm most glad that the Lord is here with us this morning. It's encouraging to my heart to know that He loves us and that He cares about us and that He's doing His very best for us. As always, I desire your prayers as we look into the Word. I have something I believe is from the Lord for your encouragement. And I want to give what the Lord has given me in a way that will be pleasing unto Him and that will be a help and a blessing to us all, myself included, myself especially. If I were to give a title to this message, it is Little Is Much. And there was a song that Sister Fleeter used to sing in Bakersfield. It was called Little Is Much When God Is In It. And it went, Little Is Much When God Is In It. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. A lot of times in our journey, we come to places where it doesn't seem like we have enough to get done what needs to be done. And so we forget that God is able to help us. We don't ask Him for it. We focus on the problem or the issue, and it can be discouraging to us. The Lord gave us a message on the entitled You Can. It was back in a couple weeks ago in California, and it was encouraging to my heart. And this message is along the same lines. It doesn't matter how little or how much we have. If we have God in it, then He can help us with what it is that we need. It doesn't matter how little or how great it is. It's God, the ingredient that's in it that's going to help us is the God ingredient. Praise God this morning. When God is in it, then it can be done by the grace and help of God. This message is to encourage us along the way. I don't determine my capabilities. Do you know that? I might think that I don't have what it is in order to do what needs to be done. But I'm not the determiner of that. The great God of heaven is. All right? And then other people, they don't determine it either. If they can't determine it for their own selves, then how are they going to determine it for you? Sometimes they'll tell you things that are discouraging. They'll tell you things that would hold you back, but they don't have that ability. They can't look into eternity and see what is going to be done. They don't have the power to speak things into and out of existence. And so God has that kind of ability, not other people. Only God has the ability to equip us on a moment's notice, on the spot, in the spot, in a very short amount of time. He can equip us with whatever it is that we need, and He can bless us, and He can strengthen us, and He can encourage us along the way. May God help us this morning. I want us to know also that the enemy of all souls does not have the ability to determine the outcome of what it is that we're going through. Sometimes he'll come to us and try to threaten us, try to intimidate us, try to discourage us, try to distort us. And by the help of the Lord, we need to understand that he doesn't have all that power that he's purporting to have. He doesn't have all that strength that he's purporting to have. But if we have God, even though it seems like it's little, even though we seem small and insignificant, if we have God with us and in us, we will be successful. Praise God this morning. I want you to pray for me this morning. Devil doesn't want us to get it out this morning, but by the grace and help of God, we're going to do the will of God this morning. Amen. Want us to know that the enemy wants to limit our minds, but God wants to expand our minds. Little is much when God is in it. Praise God this morning. Isaiah 40 and 28, I want you to turn to it. If you beat me there, go ahead and read. It's going to remind us of some things that can help us along the way. It's in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28 and verse number 29. All right. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard?
Everlasting God.
Creator of the ends of the earth. All right now.
There is no searching of his understanding.
No searching of his understanding.
Counsel of the
He gives power to the mighty God, to them that have no mighty God. He gives us his strength. Praise God this morning. Praise God this morning. So I want to remind us of some things. Little is much when God is in it. When we align ourselves with God, when we make God our friend and he is a friend to us, then he's in what we're doing. He's backing us. He loves us with an unfeigned love. And it says here, has thou not heard? Has thou not, let me get my glasses here. Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, I looked up everlasting, and it means eternal. It means that it does not have a beginning and it does not have an end. And God refers to himself in that way. He was and he is and he will be forevermore. And so this is the great God of heaven that we're serving. And this is who we want in the battle with us as we're battling and moving forward for the Lord. It says the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And so what that points us to, and I've made this point many times, but I hope you're getting it. I hope you grab it. I hope you're holding on to it. If he can create that, he can create what is needed for your situation. May God help us this morning. He's a creator. That means he makes something out of nothing. May God help us this morning. God can bless and he can move on your behalf in your situation, even though it seems impossible. May God bless and help us this morning. It says here, the other thing it says is he's not weary and he fainteth not. God is not constrained by the human constraints. We see God sometimes as another man. The people refer to God as the man upstairs. That is not who God is. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't get hungry. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't fail. We do all of those things in faith, but God doesn't do anything like that. He doesn't have those kind of constraints. He is everlasting. He is almighty. He is the one that is behind us and with us in these situations. May God bless us this morning. He giveth power to the faint. So he's the one that has stores of strength, stores of power. And faint, what that means is that I'm getting weak. And then it says them that have no might. And so they've come to the end of what all it is that they have. And they don't have any more. It doesn't matter if you have a little bit or you don't have any at all. God can give it to you right there on the spot by the grace and help of God. Praise God this morning. I want you to be encouraged that God is with us. He loves us. He's eternal. I want us to go to a scripture in Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 27. It talks about the fact that he's eternal. I want us to understand something. God didn't show up yesterday. God didn't show up when he spoke the world into existence. He was already there and he's already been there. And so we need to understand that there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that you're going through that he hasn't seen before thousands or maybe even millions of times. And he's helped and he's blessed and he's worked on each and everyone's behalf that would allow him to do it. What is that? Genesis 33 and verse... Deuteronomy, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 27. Go ahead and read.
Oh God is our refuge.
All right.
And underneath are the everlasting arms.
All right, all right. Go ahead and read.
And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee.
Yes.
And shall say,
yes.
Destroy them.
Destroy them.
Yes.
Don't that sound? May God bless us. Read that again. I want us to get what that sounds like.
Eternal God is our refuge.
Yes. Eternal God.
And underneath are the everlasting arms.
All right. Everlasting arms.
And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee.
Okay.
And shall say, destroy them.
Destroy them.
Yes.
Huh? Your enemies, they can't do anything to you because this is the God that's behind you and with you. This is the God that loves you and cares about you. And so what the enemy tries to do is make us feel small and weak and insignificant. And we feel that way because we're human and sometimes we can fall into those kinds of places. But we need to be encouraged that we are not alone in this. We have an advocate. We have an ally. We have a friend that's going to help us through these different things. I want to go to a familiar passage of scripture. And before I do that, it's in Samuel 17, And we'll start at verse number 20. But before we go there, I want to read what Almighty means. It says, having complete power. It says, having unlimited power. And so someone was talking about, I think it was Sister Audrey talking about the superheroes that they were talking about. Only God has this real, in real time, in real truth.
Right.
All right, he inhabits eternity.
Yeah.
All right, he inhabits the universe. He inhabits all of what is known and all of what is not known. All right, and so Almighty God means that he has the power to do what needs to be done always and forever. Be encouraged this morning by the grace and help of God. All right. So I want to go to 1 Samuel 17 and 20. And also I want us to understand something, what the enemy wants to do. And we preached about it a little while ago in the You Can message. But what he wants to do is he wants to hinder us on our day-to-day journey. Before we get to the readings in 1 Samuel 17 and 20, let's jump over to Luke 16 and 10 and read a verse. It's going to sound a little bit out of place, but it makes sense when we look at the totality of the entire thing. He says, he that is faithful in that which is least and faithful is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. All right, how does that tie into what we're talking about this morning? What God is looking for is a faithful people.
Yes.
A faithful person is somebody who has placed their trust, their confidence, their belief in God to the point where beyond what I say, it's what I do. Right? So I believe you, God, to the point where I'm going to obey you. Not just say that I believe you, but I'm going to do what it is that you tell me to do. Not only does it say faithful in least, so the one that's faithful in least is also faithful in much. What we're talking about here is a day-to-day walk. Sometimes moment by moment, minute by minute, and hour by hour. That faith needs to be maintained with God so that we can go through the lesser trials. And God has been talking to me about this. So if you hear this over and over again, then maybe you need to really listen to it or something or get it down. But what he's been talking to me about is going through your day-to-day trials with victory. You expect victory. You want victory. You intend to have victory. And by God's grace and help, you get victory. And then once you get that victory, you maintain that victory by the grace and help of God. Jesus did not die upon the cross for us to live in a fallen state, for us to live in a state where we have no victory in God. I'm not saying that we can't fail or that we don't make mistakes. But what I'm saying is, if you don't even expect to have victory, how are you going to get it? And if you do get victory, but you think you're going to fail, you're going to lose it. So what I'm saying, what God wants us to do is start working on our daily walk with the Lord, expecting to be victorious, asking God to help us to be victorious, putting God little as much when God is in it, putting God in everything that we do so that we can be victorious by the grace and help of God. So the little trials and the little tests are going to prepare us for the much more difficult ones. May God help us this morning. This is why we read that one in conjunction with what we're saying this morning. Want to encourage you this morning, be fighting, be watching, be praying, and be on a daily basis looking to the Lord to help you. All right, 1 Samuel 17, and we'll pick it up in verse number 20. And this is a very a familiar passage of scripture. Somebody go ahead and read that for us, please.
David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him.
Yes.
And he came to the trench.
Okay.
As the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle.
All right, pause there for a second for us, please. So David, remember David had been faithful, all right? David was a keeper of the sheep, so not a very prestigious job. You're around animals all day, chasing off other animals that's trying to get them. This is not a very, something that other people would want. All right, but God, that's the place that God had him in. And God was proving him in that place. And so now we're fast forwarding. There's something that's going on, and we'll pick that up in the scripture. Go ahead and read verse number 21 and forward.
For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array,
okay,
army against army.
All right.
And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage.
Okay.
And ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren.
All right.
And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, by name.
Okay.
And out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard it.
All right, pause there for me, please. In verse number 8 it says, and he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And so what was happening here, and this is very common in our fight, in our battle against the enemy. If the devil can intimidate us into believing that we can't be successful in the first place, he'll just take it from you without even a fight. What was happening here was, this is a devilish tactic, and the enemy had taught him this tactic. He said, listen, go up there, be big, talk loud, make a bunch of threats, and they're littler than you, and they might get scared. And even if you do fight, Muhammad Ali said something like that, something similar. He said he would break them down before he even fought them. He would talk so bad to them and discourage them, and then when they get in the ring, their heart's not really in it. And that's what the enemy wants to do to you and to me. He wants us to forget that this battle is not even my battle. Whose battle is it? The Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And so he's going to be with me in this battle. But the devil's going to come to you, and he's going to talk crazy, and he's going to look big and dangerous and hard to overcome. And if you're not careful, you'll forget that God is with you. And little is much when God is in it. And so he's talking crazy. He's doing his job. Let's pick up and read forward. All right?
And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid.
May God help us.
And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up?
Yes.
Surely to fight Israel is
yes.
come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him,
yes.
the king will enrich him with great riches,
yes.
and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel.
What did David say?
And David spake to
all right.
that stood by him, saying,
all right.
what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine?
Yes.
And taketh away the reproach from Israel.
Yes.
For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
Praise God. Pause there for me, please. So, this brother been watching sheep his whole life. Right? You got a whole army in front of a whole nother army, and nobody in this army wants to fight. These are fighting men. You understand? And so parallel this with your life and what you're going through. The odds are stacked against you. Those that say they save and those that say they are living for the Lord, when they come up against certain things, they want to discourage you and tell you, you can't do it. Right? But and who are you to feel like you can be successful? But David said, look, I got the Lord with me. I got the Lord with me. Little as much when God is in it. I looked up how tall David was, and I looked out how tall Goliath was. And the numbers, of course, are not exact. Nobody was there that's still living, and so they don't know. But they're saying that Goliath could have been 11 feet or more, 11 to 13 feet tall, and they had David at 5 feet or less. 5 feet or less. Chasing sheep around. Huh? He's not, I want you to understand now. He's not a soldier. He's not a soldier. He's a little guy. This guy's twice as tall as he is, at least. And he's been chasing sheep around. What would make him think that he could be successful? Little as much. When God is in it. We'll read, and it's going to tell us some more, and we know the story. But we have to understand that we, whatever it is that we've done that has been successful in the first place, it's been the Lord anyway. It's been the Lord anyway. It's him that he's, it's, in one place in the Bible it says, it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. He does this. He uses us to do, but he's the one that does the good. So little as much when God is in us. Don't let who we are and what we are. The brother said something about the children this morning, and I want to encourage the children this morning. Don't let, because you are a child and you're up against a lot, don't let that discourage you. God uses children too. And God's able to bless and work in and through you. Give your heart to the Lord as a child and let him strengthen you and use you and bless you throughout your life. Go ahead and read, please.
After this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him.
All right.
And Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David.
Okay.
He said, why comest thou down hither?
Yes.
And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?
Yes.
I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle.
All right, so even his brother, even family members, what make you think you so good? You ever had somebody say, why you think you so good? You ain't good. Going to church all the time, praying and reading the Bible, trusting in the Lord. Huh? Sometimes our own families can hinder us if we let them. You think, and they'll make it your fault. You what did he say? He said the pride of your heart, didn't he? Huh? The pride, you it's your pride that's making you think that you can be successful with the Lord's help. Huh? May God help us. Don't be deterred by that. Don't listen to that. If you know that it's God that is with you and God is going to help you, then stick with that. Stick with that and God will bless you and he'll help you. Moving forward, go ahead.
David said, what have I now done?
Yes.
Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another.
Yes.
And spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after.
All right.
And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul.
Yes.
And he sent for him.
Yes.
And
amen.
And he said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him.
Yes.
I serve him and fight this Philistine.
All right. Pause for me there. The brother said earlier, first he said he'll do it. And they said he can't do it. And then his own brother said he couldn't do it, right? But then he said, and I want you to get this phrase and stamp it in your mind. It says, is there not a cause? Little as much when God is in it. All right? And so if there's a worthy cause, if it's something that God has allowed you to come to, he wants you to go through it. And he wants you to go through it by his help. There's a reason and there's a purpose behind what God is allowing you to experience at this time in your life. So be encouraged that God allowed it, and so he's going to back you, he's going to help you, he's going to be with you, because there is a cause. All right, and then he says here in the verse, moving on down, David spake, it says he turned him toward another and spake after the same manner. The people answered unto him again. I'm picking up in 30. Again, after the former manner. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed him before Saul. So now they're going and they're going to tell Saul about it, right? And so Saul says, and David said to him, let no man's heart fail because of him, thy servant will go. And so sometimes when we are faced with discouragement, we'll say, I'm going to do it. And we began to move in that direction by the help of the Lord. And we're faced with negativity on every turn. We have to just be determined to continue to go on for the Lord. How many times did he have to say, is there not a cause? How many times did he have to reaffirm that God was able? And we'll have to do the same thing, but little as much when God is in it. God will be with us, and he'll help us out. He says, I will go. All right, move forward, please.
Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine.
All right.
With him, for thou art but a youth.
Yes.
And he, a man of war, friend of his.
Yes.
And David said unto Saul,
yes.
Yes. And took a lamb out of the flock.
Yes.
And I went out after
him
and smote him.
Yes.
And delivered it out of his mouth.
Yes.
And when he rose up against me,
yes.
I caught him by his beard and I smote him. slew him.
Amen.
Thy servants slew both the lion and the bear.
Yes.
And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them.
Yes.
He hath defied the armies of the living God.
Go ahead and pause there. Remember I told you earlier in the beginning of the message, the day-by-day trials and tests that we face. What was encouraging Brother David was that he had been in the will of the Lord, and he had went up against the lion, and he had went up against the bear, and God hadn't failed him there. He was still a little guy there. He wasn't taller in that situation, wasn't big, wasn't strong, but God was with him against the lion and the bear. And so it wasn't a great leap of faith for him to believe that this Philistine that's coming again, because again, is there a cause? David understood that this is not my battle. This battle is the Lord. And this individual that's coming against me is coming against the Lord. You understand? This and those enemies that you're fighting, the enemy's behind them, and it's the enemy that's fighting against the Lord. We are in the middle of that, and we're representing God, and those people may be representing the enemy, so we don't need to fight them. We need to fight the enemy that's behind them by the Lord's strength and help. We can't do it on our own. Let's read about what Saul, the weapon Saul tried to give him. All right.
In verse 37 says, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out
yes.
of the paw of the lion,
yes.
out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.
Amen. Little as much.
Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee.
All right.
And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head.
Yes.
Also he armed him with a coat of mail.
Yes.
And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go,
yes.
for he had not proved it.
Yes.
David said unto Saul, I cannot go with
him. Amen.
For I have not proved it.
Yes.
And David put the cloth
on
him.
Amen. So sometimes people, they want to give you their take on it. And they may be well intentioned in how you should fight the battle and what weapons you should use. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And it goes on to say what all our weapons can do, and it tells us what our weapons are. When you are in the battle against the enemy, don't forget to take God with you, and don't forget to take the weapons that are proven and have been known to be successful in this battle of life. Use the weapons that God. Prayer still works.
Yes.
Prayer still works. Yes. Fasting still works. Reading the word of God still works. The songs of Zion still works. Encouraging yourself in the Lord, it still works. Talking to the people of God that you know are living right and getting encouragement from them, that still works. Yes. Use the weapons that still work. The weapons that may they might work for somebody else, the weapons that they are using, but they're not going to work for you in your battle. You use the weapons that God has given you. Little is much when God is in it. He's put you in the battle. He's given you the weapons to use. You use those weapons. Read, please.
And he took his staff in
yes.
his hand and chose him five smooth stones
yes.
out of the brook
yes.
and put them in the shepherd's bag
yes.
which he had, even
yes.
in the
yes.
And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine.
Hold there, please. See the weapons he was using?
Mm-hmm.
Same weapons that he had been using.
Right.
Remember, he's a sheep herder. He's a shepherd of the sheep. And so the wolves would come. What do you think he would do? He wouldn't run up on the wolf. He'd just take that sling, sling it around, and stick him with a rock.
Yeah.
Right? Sting him, they get on moving, right?
Yes.
Use the weapons that God gives you.
Amen.
Use the weapons that God gives you, little as much when God is in it. Go ahead.
And the Philistines came on and drew near unto David.
Yes.
And the man that bare the shield went before him.
Get a picture of this.
And when the Philistine looked about and saw David,
yes.
he sustained him.
Yes.
For he was but a youth and
yes.
funny and of a fair countenance.
Yes.
The Philistine said unto David, am I a dog?
Yes.
Thou comest to me with staves?
Yes.
And the Philistine David by his God.
Lord have mercy.
The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air,
yes.
and to the beasts of the field.
Yes.
Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear,
yes.
and with a shield.
Yes.
But I come to thee in the name of the Lord.
Praise God.
The God of the armies of Israel.
Praise God.
Whom thou hast
Yes.
This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee,
yes,
and take thine head from thee,
yes,
and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines
to the fowls of the air,
and to the fowls of the air,
yes,
and to the wild beasts of the earth,
yes,
that all the earth may know,
yes,
there is a God in Israel.
Pause there. Pause there for me, please. If that don't give you chills and goosebumps, I don't know what will.
Right.
I don't know what will. The enemy is still talking crazy.
Right.
Still telling you what he's going to do to you and how he's going to do it. But his mindset, and our mindset must be the same way. Lord, help us. Lord, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this in your strength.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this by your grace and your power, Lord. I'm going to do this with the weapons that you have given me.
Yeah.
He was not afraid. He was not daunted. He was not humbled by what the man was saying. He knew that God had his back.
Yeah.
And so he said, I'm going to do this by the grace and help of God.
Yeah.
It's encouraging to know that God, you have to understand this, God, the battle that you're facing, God has seen that same battle many, many times.
Yeah.
The enemy that you're facing, God has seen that same enemy many, many times. And the weapons that you're using and the strength from God, remember, he giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. And so I'm weak, and then I'm already to the point where I'm completely exhausted. I don't have anything left. He'll give me that strength right at a moment's notice and give me the weapons and the tools in order to be successful. Little as much when God is in it. God has what we need. May God help us this morning. David had a can-do attitude, and he had a faith and a trust and a confidence in God. May God help us. Read for us, please.
And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not,
yes,
sword and spear.
Yes.
For the battle is the Lord.
Yes.
And he will give you into our hands.
Amen.
And it came to pass when the Philistine arose,
yes,
and came and drew nigh to meet David,
yes,
that David hastened,
yes,
and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines.
Lord, help us.
And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and,
yes,
slain it.
Yes.
Smote the Philistine in his forehead.
Yes.
That the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth.
Let's pause right there.
Amen.
You know, the giant was talking about all what he was going to do. He talked about, were your weapons, are they going to be for a dog and all this? He had no idea. You know, you imagine how surprised he was as he was falling on his face?
Yes.
He said, this guy done hit me with a rock, and I'm going down. Huh? This little old nobody. If he could have got to him and grabbed him, he would have just ripped him limb from limb. But God had a plan in the whole entire thing. God has a plan in your life. You know that David, now listen, I got work to do. I got work to do. Because David ran towards the enemy.
Right.
He ran towards him.
Right.
So he knew in his heart, this is going to happen. How many stones did he use?
One
stone. What happened was, God guided that stone.
Yes.
David could have, if the giant was over there, David could have slung it that way. It would have ran around and popped him in the forehead. He would have.
Right.
He would have, because God was in it. Little as much when God is in it. I got work to do, because I don't run toward the enemy all the time. I don't always want to, I'm tired of the enemy. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of him. And sometimes I'd rather not deal with the enemy today. But little is much when God is in it. When I'm weak, then am I strong. Ain't that right, Brother Tavis? Amen. Brother Tavis talked about that. He talked about, remember that message about the everlasting arms?
Yes.
God has that strength for us. And so we feel a certain way, but God can help us and he can bless us. He can help us to run towards the enemy and smack him right on in the forehead. The other thing I thought about, and this came to my mind, that you know, when you're a paramedic, you think about certain things. You know that stone, it's going to talk about, and we're not going to read it because we have to go to we're going to do a little bit more in a different reading about the little as much when God is in it. But you think about some things sometimes when you're a paramedic. It said the stone sunk into his forehead. So this is like a bullet almost. I don't know how deep it went into his forehead, but I believe, I could be wrong, I believe that the giant was dead at that moment. And if he wasn't dead, when he hit the ground, because he didn't lower himself to the ground and stop himself from falling. This is a big old tall heavy man. He fell like a tree.
Right.
He probably smacked that head and everything else. So he probably was dead then. But what God did was he told him what he was going to do, and then he did it. He went into the reason why he didn't need Saul's sword is because he was going to use Goliath's sword against him.
Right.
Once he smacked him in the head and knocked him down, he took his sword. I don't know how big that sword. And then I thought about this. What happened to the shield bearer? Remember the shield bearer? They was big already, and he had somebody carry. His shield was so big, I bet that shield bearer was like, I'm gone. I don't know what he going to do next, but I'm gone. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown. You can win it if you go what? In Jesus' name. God is going to be with us. And so he cut his head off. Let's read another reading. And there's more to that story. When a minister presents something and it's helping you along the way, it's encouraging you, and I encourage you to make note of where those scriptures are, those stories are. And then throughout the week, if you get a chance, go back and read them.
Yeah.
Read them even in their entirety. There's a lot of good in it for you, and it'll bless you to help you. All right. 1 Kings is going to be 17 and verse number 1. I'm almost finished here. I know I've taken up a bunch of time here, but I want you to understand that God has your back. He's going to help you. He's going to bless you. And I'm going to read here. You pray for me. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. All right, so the Lord had told him, Elijah, we know that he was one of the fathers of faith. We know that he was a faithful man of God. All right, and so the Lord had come to him and given him an instruction to say, listen, it's not going to rain for a span of some years. All right, and so the Lord gave him instruction. When the Lord come to us, give us instruction, it's our duty to listen and obey.
Right.
All right, so in order to listen, I want us to listen up this morning. If we had known this already, then I'll tell you this morning, it'll help you out. In order to listen, you have to be in a certain state.
Right.
You have to have a certain mindset, because you can hear all the time, but you can't always listen.
True. True.
If you're married, you know about that. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
All right? Sometimes your wife tell you something and you heard her, but you wasn't listening because your mind wasn't in the right state.
Yeah.
And so when God comes to us, he expects us to be in a ready state.
Yeah.
So that we can hear what he has to say and then do what it is that he's telling us to do.
Yeah.
So God came to him and said, listen, this is what's going to happen. It's not going to rain. So it's going to get real dry. If it don't rain for some years, it's going to get real dry. He said, go to this place, and it's going to be some water here. And then he said here, get thee hence and turn, verse number 3, the eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Sometimes when God comes to us and he says, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, it seems it doesn't make sense to us. That makes sense. The ravens are going to come bring me food. When in history have the ravens come and bring us food before? Huh? Remember God? I don't know if it was the birds they did it, but I know that God gave them manna from heaven. Remember that? And so when we live a faithful life, we can trust that God is going to be faithful unto us. All right. And so he says, the birds is going to bring you some food. So he went there and did according to him. He listened and he obeyed. He went, did according unto the word of the Lord. And he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. All right. And so God was faithful unto him. Little as much when God is in it. The ravens, God talked to, you have to understand what's going on here. You have to look at this and get a hold of what's going on. God told him what to do. He did it. It's counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense. And then God went and talked to the birds. God is everywhere. He has power over all things. He talked to the birds and say, birds, I got a guy. So they got to know where to go and how much to get and what to get. And they did it. God is able to do it. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown. You can win it if you go in Jesus' name. So the ravens brought him the bread and the flesh in the morning and the bread and the flesh in the evening. He drank of the brook. And it says here, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up and because there had been no rain in the land. All right. So at that point, he had an opportunity to say, Lord, what happened? You said you was going to feed me. You said you was going to give me drink. What's wrong with the water? You see what I'm saying? But God, what he does is he gives us tests along the way. And he gives us little stepping stones that we are to be aware of. And by God's help, be successful in those tests. And then we'll get even better in the Lord, get even closer to the Lord. And God's able to deal and work with us in a better way. Came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So now he got to get up again and go somewhere else. All right. When God tells us to do something, he has an intent in mind.
We don't believe that he can do it, and we're not moving in that direction. And then sometimes the one that God is dealing with on the back end, he's got to deal with them. And so sometimes that takes a while for that to happen. Keep your faith and your patience and your trust in God. All right. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, there was a widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Yeah. All right, so some man that she don't know came up to her and told her, go get me some water. She could have been like, you get your own water, right?
True.
Could be,
true.
But little as much when God is in it. Yeah. He had already worked and prepared her. And so she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, and as she was going to fetch it, so she listened and she obeyed the man of God. She was going to fetch it. He called to her and he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Yeah. And she said, I want you to listen to this response. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And so it took something for her to even hear what he had to say. He said, not only get me some water, but make me some bread. I'm hungry. I want you to go get me some water and go get me some bread. And she's thinking about what she should be thinking about. She don't have much bread. She has a small container, a cruse of oil, and she's got a tiny bit of meal to make the bread with. And then she has somebody that she's taking care of on top of that. And she says, this is all I got. And once we eat this, we're just going to wait. We're going to starve to death. But what does it say here? Elijah said unto her, fear not.
Yes.
Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son.
Yes.
For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. All right. And so she heard what he had to say. And what do you think her response was?
She did it. She did it. She said, I believe that God is going to take care of me. I believe that God is going to look out for me. And so when she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. Amen. Now read verse number 16. The barrel of meal wasted not. And so whatever they had in the beginning, they always had. And the cruse of oil, what happened to that? It failed not. God is able to do it. Listen, he didn't give them a whole bunch of meal. He didn't give them a whole bunch of oil. Little is much when God is in it. God is able to take what you already have and bless that. I said, God is able to take what you already have and bless that and extend that. Yeah. Little is much when God is in it. Yeah. So God is able to take care of us. And we could read the remainder of the story, but her faithfulness had a much greater blessing on her, didn't it? Yeah. What happened with her son? Y'all remember what happened with her son? He died, didn't he? He ended up dying. But the man of God was right there, and God blessed him to pray for that young man, and God brought him back. You don't know what I'm trying to get to is we don't know what is contingent and what is who is depending on our faithfulness. We don't know who is looking on and seeing what God can do through to us and through us with our lives. And so there's a lot riding on your and my faithfulness. We have to remember that little is much when God is in it. Doesn't matter how small or little we have. Don't matter how little or how inadequate we may be. God is able to bless us and to help us if we will but be faithful unto him. I appreciate your prayers and your time and your attention. I need to be reminded of these very things from time to time. So this message is to me first. I need the Lord to bless and to help me in a special way, because I'm faced with some things that the enemy would want to discourage me, but the Lord wants to bless me. There's a blessing at the end of our trials. There's a blessing if we'll be faithful unto him. If we keep our faith and trust and confidence in him, he'll see us through. Be praying for me. I want to make heaven my home. I'll be praying for you. I want you to make heaven your home as well. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. If a little is much, if when God is in it, then what is much without God in it? May God help us. Amen.